I hope you have the sermon notes with us. We're going to read the scripture portion that is mentioned on the sermon notes from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36. Shall we read this all together, please? Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36 as it is projected. Let us look at our Bibles, or even in this particular reference or the English version. Let's all read this together. Deuteronomy, Dvithiyopadesa Kandamu. Chapter 1, verse 36. All together, please. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him and his children I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion. Gracious Father, loving God, we pray that you may speak to us through your living word. Not my words, but let your words that you have taught me, Lord, be able to enable each one of us to learn something new from your word or get reminded of something already that we know. But most of all, we pray, Lord, that you may enable us, Father, to focus our attention on your word so that we may live according to your word. We are people of different mind frames, various situations that are going on in our lives. Only you can speak to us. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. As you all know, the title of this particular sermon is Caleb. Some of us have that name also. Some of I know right here. Some of us have named their children or grandchildren with that name, Caleb. I was meditating on this particular character of Caleb, and I thought it was so wonderful that God has really revealed the wonderful truths from his word. So I thought I'll share it with each one of us so that we may be able to learn from this character of Caleb. The word Caleb, it means being faithful, or in other words, faithful even like an animal, like a dog which is so faithful to its owner. Being faithful is the theme, if at all, we want to consider from this name, Caleb. And Caleb is the son of Jephunneh. Jephunneh means He is facing the situations. Jephunneh means he is facing the situations. He's going to encounter situations, in other words. So probably Jephunneh has named his son because he wanted his son to be faithful, just like we expect the pets that we rear also to be faithful. So with that said, let us turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. We are going to look at this particular chapter, Joshua chapter 14. You might know this particular person, Joshua. Most of the time we tend to understand certain things in this particular book of Joshua, but there is another person that is associated with Joshua, that is Caleb. Most of the time we think about Joshua, but it's good to be able to study on this character of Caleb. Joshua chapter 14. Now these are the first one onwards. Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. These are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. Just to give a background, during the time of Joseph, when there was famine, the children of Israel moved from this land of Canaan to the land of Egypt where Joseph was. They did not know that there was Joseph there. But in order to be able to get the food for that limited time, they totally moved from the land of Canaan to the land of Egypt. After Joseph died, there were kings that came who did not know about Joseph or the Lord of Joseph. And so 400 years, the people of Israel were under bondage. And after that, under the leadership of Moses, the people of Israel were brought out of the land of Egypt. But under the leadership of Joshua, they entered into the land of Canaan. They were brought out under the leadership of Moses, but they entered into the land of Canaan under the leadership of Joshua. So once they entered into the land of Canaan, they divided that land into various territories. And that is what we see here in verse 1. And then we see that there are various kinds of territories. If we read up till verse 4, and then verse 5, Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. If you were to look at this picture, this particular picture talks about or depicts the land of Canaan divided among the 12 tribes of Israel when they had taken over that land of Canaan. And if you see, pretty much most of the tribes except the tribe of Levi, because the Lord himself was their inheritance. And we see Manasseh on the west and east of Jordan River. And there is Judah on the bottom. And here we see something that we should be able to understand. And for that, we will go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Wonder where is Numbers? Go a little two books backwards. Deuteronomy back again to the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, we see that there was something that has happened. And that is what we are going to pick up from. And in this particular chapter of Numbers, the chapter 13, and Joshua chapter 14, we are going to understand something that was going on. Let us see. Verse chapter 13. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send out for yourself men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan." Before they occupied the land of Canaan, they had to send out certain people to spy out the land of Canaan, or in other words, to survey the land of Canaan, which I'm going to give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from each of their father's tribes, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran at the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the sons of Israel. Verse 4, then these were their names: from the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur; from the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Horai; from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Verse 5, Numbers, Sankhya Kandamu, verse chapter 13, and verse 5, verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. So if you want to understand this man, Caleb, he was selected as one of the spies from the tribe of Judah. Here we see Judah there. There's so much that has happened in the land of Judah. And the people's names at the later point of time, they were not called Israelites, they were called Jews, because primarily the focus was on Judah. So that's how the word Jews came in. So the tribe of Judah, Caleb was from the tribe of Judah. That is what I want us to focus upon. He was from the tribe of Judah. So let's go back. Keep your finger or bookmark in Numbers chapter 13, because we are going to go back and forth. Numbers chapter 13 and Joshua chapter 14. So here, let us see now in verse 6, Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. Now they had occupied various places. They have set aside territories for each of the tribe. But the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in verse 6 in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who was of the tribe of Judah, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." Now he is reminding Joshua. Caleb is reminding Joshua. This was the first time we see a conversation that happened that is recorded in the Bible, where Caleb and Joshua are talking to each other. He was telling, "Remember, you know the Lord God who spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me, concerning me and you. He spoke something about you and I. There is something that was uniquely spoken about you and I." Verse 7. Now he's talking history. Joshua 14:7. Please read, one of us. Could you please read verse 7? "I was 40 years old enough, brother. Thank you. Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea." He was sent out for a purpose. There was a purpose for which he was sent out, to spy out the land, to be able to survey the land. What did he do? "I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." There was something that was going on in his heart. There was something that was going on in his heart that he was able to speak out. He was telling about it much later. He was 85 years old. We will see that later in verse 10. He says that he was 85 years old that day, but he was talking about 45 years ago. When he was 40 years old, he said, Moses sent me out to spy out the land. Though 12 of them were sent, he took it personally. He didn't think that, okay, 12 of them are sent. Oh, I'm one of them. Not a big deal. No. Though 12 of them were sent out spies, he took his responsibility as a personal responsibility to go out to spy out the land of Canaan. And now we see here in verse 8. Notice this very carefully. Somebody else, if you could please read 8th verse. Verse 8, the brothers who went with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. They were giving such a kind of a report that people were afraid. But I wholly followed my God. Lord, my God. Please read in any other language. Verse 8, Joshua 14, 8. Sampurna is talking about fully following the Lord or wholly following the Lord. Any other language, please? Anusarinchadam, following, nindu manasato, wholeheartedly. I want to focus on that, my dear. His commitment was a total commitment, not a partial commitment. He was wholly following the Lord. In some other translations it says, he followed the Lord fully, not partially, my dear. This was what attracted me to study the character of Caleb. He followed the Lord fully. You know what? The verse that was mentioned on your sermon notes, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 36, God is telling that. God was telling that to him. And what does he say there? Let's all read this once again. Deuteronomy 1:36. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him and to his children, I am giving the land on which he walked, because he wholly followed the Lord. Who is giving the testimony? God himself is giving testimony of Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord. Oh, my dear. Caleb himself is able to give a testimony that I followed the Lord wholly. And again, God himself is saying that he followed the Lord. Caleb followed the Lord wholly. Can he talk about you and I like that? Can you say, I am following the Lord wholly? Can I say, we need to examine ourselves in the light of the word of God and the table that is set before us. Am I following the Lord wholly? Wholly, W-H-O-L-E. Wholly. Fully. Completely. Total surrender. And that is where we pick up the first point that we want to write down. Caleb's commitment. His commitment was a total commitment, my dear. It was not partial. It was not partial. A hen and a pig came upon a church building and read the advertised sermon on the billboard out front, which read, "What can we help? What can we do to help the poor?" A hen and a pig came to the church and they read a advertisement or a bulletin board on the church. It said, "What can we do to help the poor?" Immediately, the hen suggested that they feed them bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs. The pig thought for a moment and said, "There is one thing wrong with feeding bacon and eggs to the poor. For you, it only requires contribution, eggs. But for me, it requires total commitment." The bacon means he has to be totally give fully, wholly. The pig or the animal has to give up itself completely in order to prepare a bacon. But for the hen, eggs. Okay, today on a, you know, I can give it. Big deal. It's a contribution. So there's a difference between contribution and commitment, total commitment. Many times we get satisfied with contribution. We say, okay, I'm giving something in terms of money or time or talents or whatever be it. Contribution. Out of the above, out of the amount that I have, I'm giving a contribution, one egg, okay. But for the pig, it was a complete surrender or total commitment, my dear brothers and sisters. God is expecting a total commitment, sacrificial commitment, holy. That word, if at all you want, you are a person who underlines in the Bible, underline that word, holy or fully. You and I need to wholly surrender ourselves to the Lord. Many times we get satisfied just by coming to the church or just making ourselves attend, give our attendance to the church. That is not what a commitment is, my dear. You and I know how much committed we are to the Lord. I don't need to ask you. You know, and I know very well how much we are committed to the Lord. Our commitment to the Lord has to be not just attending. Our commitment to the Lord has not just to be about contribution, how much you depend upon Him fully. Lord, I completely surrender myself. We sing the songs, I surrender all. I doubt how much we do really mean it when we sing that song, because we like that song, because we've been singing that song from childhood, we keep singing that song, I surrender all. What is it all? Am I surrendering all? Total commitment, my dear. It's a good reminder for us. Back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. And in here, the various tribes are mentioned. From each tribe, we stopped at Judah, and after that, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, all these various tribes. And you notice one more tribe that is mentioned. What is that tribe? About whom it is written in verse 8. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. The Hoshea, the son of Nun. From the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is the son of Joseph. Joseph's two sons became two different tribes, and that is how it still continued as 12 tribes. In spite of Levi not being there, Ephraim and Manasseh were given equal land that for them to be able to occupy. So from Ephraim was the name Hoshea. And in verse 16, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, but Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Hoshea was his original name. And that name was changed to Joshua by Moses. So now these 12 people, equally responsible, they were sent out. Though we don't remember all the 12 names, at least we remember two names, that is Caleb and Joshua. And now these people were sent out, verse 17. When Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there with the Negev, then go up into the hill country, the mountainous hill countries, or go up to the mountain. See what the land is like, whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many. How is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? Good questions. You know, survey. I don't know if you have filled in any survey questions and answers. We might fill in only if you are given $5 gift card or something. Then only we will be, motivated to fill in the surveys. But survey has questions. And here there are questions that are mentioned in verse 19 and 20. How are the cities in which they live? Are they like open camps or with fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort then to get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. We have meditated on this earlier when we were studying through the sermon on the Valley of Eshkol, primarily focusing on the valley experiences. But the same portion, now we are looking from the character of Caleb. Now we see verse 21. So they went up and spied out the land of wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob at Lebo Hamath. Verse 22. When they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, Talmai, the descendants of Anak. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshkol. They cut a single cluster of grapes. And now that place was called Valley of Eshkol, verse 24, because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. Cluster. That's why it was called Eshkol. Eshkol means cluster. Now, verse 25. Listen to this very carefully, my dear. It's an interesting story. It may be a well-known story. But may the Lord speak to us as we meditate on this. Verse 25. Numbers 13, 25. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days. It took them 40 days to go and survey the land and bring back the grapes, the cluster of grapes. They were returning at the end of 40 days. They proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation in the wilderness. They brought back the word to them. You see, he was telling that story in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb was reminding Joshua how he brought back the word of the Lord that was in his heart. Because he was committed to the Lord wholly, we'll see what happens here. Verse 27. Thus they told him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." It's a well-established, fruitful land, land of Canaan. Wonderful land God has promised. Is that the end of it? Verse 27, if they had stopped there, that would have been good. They told him, they all together they told him. Verse 28. Nevertheless, please read verse 28. The descendants of Anak, the children of Anak were there. Anak means the giants. There are big giants there. Though the land is good, the people are very strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Amalek is living in the land, verse 29. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites. Terrible, oh man. Though the land is good, though we brought the fruit of the land, you know, they started causing fear in the hearts of the people. That's what Caleb was mentioning. He sensed that these people who were talking, first of all, the good of the land, also started scaring the people. Now, if you wanted to go to some land and somebody went there and told that, oh man, the people out there are terrible. Oh, there's big, big giants are there. Verse 30. Now comes the character of Caleb. Notice this very carefully, my dear. Numbers 13, verse 30. Sankhya Kandam, 13 Ajayamu, 30 Vachanam. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Joshua was not in the picture yet. Caleb was the first one who was in the picture. Many times we think about Joshua. Good. I'm glad he's a leader after Moses. Agreed. But who was the initiating point? So all the people, the 10 people were talking negative and causing fear in the people. Joshua stood strong. He quieted the people. Come on, quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." We will surely overcome it. We will go to the next point for us to discuss. And that is not only Caleb's commitment, also Caleb's confidence. Let's write it down. Caleb's confidence. He had the confidence, my dear. You and I need to have confidence in the Lord. Not confidence because of the circumstances that are ahead of us. There may be giants in the place. There may be huge situations, mountainous situations. Here it says, there was a mountain on which all these giants were already. There's a big mountain. On the top of the mountain, big, big giants. And now, he says, we should by all means. You see the wholeheartedness, the wholly following the Lord. By all means, we should go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us." Now there is a contention between Caleb. Joshua is not yet in the picture. Caleb was talking alone here, my dear. He had to stand strong. That is what commitment I'm telling you. How do we stand in the midst of opposition in our lives? How do you and I stand in the midst of opposition? Do we follow along with others? Oh man, all these people are saying that it is terrible. Why should I say that it is? We should go. What if I'm wrong? But let me tell you, if you are fully committed to the Lord, if you are fully trusting in the Lord, that He's the one who will do it, the confidence, we will surely overcome it. That is the confidence. He believed in the Lord. He believed in the Lord that He will do it. Verse 32. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land. Now, what happened? The bad report was the one that caused people to get scared. Verse 33. They also There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Enoch, are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers in our sight, so were we in their sight. They are giants, they have to overcome. They are grasshoppers, they have to overcome. First of all, we need to overcome the grasshoppers in us. They were thinking they were like grasshoppers. They forgot that the Lord is on their side. They forgot the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They forgot the God who provided them in their wilderness experience. In spite of all the situations, now they are looking with their physical eyes and they are saying, we are like grasshoppers. Many times, self is the one which is a discouragement for us. Self. Here we see in verse 33, we became like grasshoppers in our own sight. Many times, we are the ones who are our own discouragers. Self. Oh my dear, if we are trusting in the Lord, if we have confidence in the Lord, if we have the commitment wholly towards the Lord, God is the one who should strengthen us. We lose our confidence when we think we are like grasshoppers in our own sights. Little. And they're saying, so were we in their sight also. Oh, because they are giants. So they had to overcome their self. That is, they had to overcome the grasshoppers in their lives. And they had to overcome the giants in their life, which are outside. Grasshoppers inside and giants outside. Oh, my dear. Are we considering ourselves as grasshoppers right now? Because of the giants that are outside, we tend to shrink ourselves and say, oh, who am I? Already we are this much, and now we shrink ourselves to become grasshoppers. And they are becoming so big. The problems in our lives cause us to become so small that we are scared of the situations in our lives. The future seems to be uncertain. The future seems to be with problems. This bad report caused these people to be like grasshoppers. Chapter 14 of Numbers, verse 1. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and people wept that night. All the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Now the time has come again for them to grumble. And the whole congregation said to them, would that we have died in the land of Egypt? Or would that we have died in the wilderness? Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Many times we have these problems. Because of the changes that are happening in the law of the land. Because of the changes that are happening in the constitution or whatever is the situation. We get scared so much. We get scared so much that we might also speak like this. Why did the Lord brought us here? Why is the Lord allowing us to go through all of this? Would it not be better that we lived in Egypt itself, that for us to return to Egypt itself? Many times we go through discouragement in our lives. Maybe we are going through some kind of a discouragement today, right now, as we are sitting here. Maybe there's so much of discouragement that is going on because of the uncertainty that is ahead of us. Because of the giants that are outside, that we are becoming like grasshoppers in our lives. Oh, my dear, learn from the character of Caleb. Caleb was a man who was committed. Caleb was a man who was having the confidence, not his own confidence, but the confidence in the Lord. He believed in the Lord that we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Yes. He was having that confidence. And then we see in verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Let's read verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of the assembly of the congregation of the sons of Israel. These two leaders, Moses and Aaron, they were the current leaders, that they were totally down. They didn't go see the land. They sent these 12 people to see the land. Now they are confused. As leaders, they are confused. At that time, somebody had to raise up. Sometimes leaders also need encouragement. Verse 6, Joshua and Caleb, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. Now these two people came up, stepped up to the plate, and they spoke to the congregation. Now comes the introduction of Joshua. Now you see,
Who was the one who has been there before? Caleb was all alone. Probably Joshua did not have the courage to speak at that time. I don't know, because nothing is mentioned about Joshua in the previous chapter when Caleb was speaking out. Probably he realized, isn't that true? Maybe that's true, that I have to be strong. I have to encourage not only the leaders, Moses and Aaron, but all the people. So he joined hands with Caleb. And now we see Joshua and Caleb both saying that it is a good land. And verse 8, notice this very carefully. Both of them, Joshua and Caleb, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Oh man, I tell you. Both were able to sometimes. Being alone is one thing, like Caleb in chapter 13. But now, Joshua and Caleb, together, they took that and they moved forward and be able to encourage these people. He said, do not be afraid. The confidence, he was building up the confidence in the people. Though the people were unable to understand, realize what was going on, again, then Moses had to take up the step and the story continues on and on and on. Now let's go back to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. It's like a story where at the current time, Caleb is talking to Joshua and he's telling, remember when I was 40 years old? Flashback. And he tells the story all along and on, and you know what has happened? And now he comes back. And now let's go back to Joshua chapter 14, where he says in verse 7, I was 40 years old when I was sent out to spy out the land. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. And now verse 9, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully or wholly. Again repeated. I tell you, this repetition of this term, wholly following the Lord, is being told by various people. Caleb himself said that. The Lord God gave testimony in Deuteronomy 1:36. Now Moses is giving the testimony. He says in verse 9, Moses swore on that day. Moses swore on that day that these people will take up the land. But what happened to the other 10? What happened to the other 10? If we really look at what happens, we will see that. Back to Numbers chapter 14. Back to Numbers chapter 14. Moses had to plead with the Lord because the people were trying to stone Joshua and Caleb in verse 10. Numbers 14:10. All the congregation said to stone them with the stones, Joshua and Caleb. And now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. God did not want Joshua and Caleb to be stoned to death. God knows how to protect his people. Immediately the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting. And then Moses went in and God said, I'm going to destroy all these people. And Moses had to plead with the Lord. Lord, please pardon these people. Please pardon these people. If you see in verse 17, now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children and third and the fourth generations. Verse 19, pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. It talks about a God who forgives. Maybe right now we are rebelling against God. We are questioning God. Why did the Lord put us in this situation? We are in trouble. Now these people who spied out the land came by and gave a bad report. We are going through bad reports. Maybe medical reports. Maybe immigration reports. Maybe family situation. Whatever is a bad report that you have right now, my dear. What is our response to it? Do we look at God during this time, or do we point at God and angry at God? Most of the time, we stop praying. That's the first thing that we do. Just because of the situations around us, our spiritual life gets affected. I'm sure each one of us can vouch to that. When we go through troubles in our lives, we stop praying. Or maybe we stop worshiping the Lord. Those who have been worshiping the Lord earlier have stopped worshiping the Lord. Why? Because things are not going well. Those people are behaving like that to me. Or my situation is very bad. How can I worship God in my situation like this? Whom are we fooling here? Are we fooling God? Are we fooling people? Our situation, no matter what goes through in our lives, we should continue to wholly follow the Lord. Wholly follow the Lord. It is not easy. With the tough times that we are going through in our lives, let me encourage you from the word of God. Cling on to Him. Do not fear. Cling on to Him. Get closer to Him. Pray more during this time, because the Lord speaks to us loudly when we are going through tough times. But for that, He's waiting for us to open His word. We stop reading God's word. We stop worshiping Him. We stop praying. We stop fellowshiping with people. We stop everything as if we are against God. We don't tell that. But our nature shows that. What is our response to tough times in our lives? Whatever is a tough time that we are going through internally, within ourselves, maybe we are going through a tough time individually. Maybe in the family we are going through tough times. Maybe in our workplace we are going through tough times. Maybe in our church lives also we may be going through tough times. How are we reacting to it, my dear? Learn from Caleb. When people are all talking about it, there are people who are trying to encourage. Be encouraged. It may be a minority, 2 out of 12 are telling, be encouraged. Are we following the 10 people? Are we hearing the 10 voices? Are we hearing the 2 voices, the still small voice telling, be encouraged? Don't fear. Don't fear. The wonderful way in which Joshua and Caleb spoke in chapter 14, it's really encouraging. Verse 19, do not rebel against the Lord. We might say, oh brother, I'm not rebelling against the Lord. But the way in which we are doing things, the way in which we are reacting to situations in our lives, reflect that. If we stop doing what we were doing unto the Lord, is it not rebellion? Let's question ourselves, including myself. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. My dear, I want to encourage you during this time. While it is a correction for each one of us not to rebel against the Lord, it is an encouragement for each one of us to know that God is with us. God is with us. And don't get discouraged. You know, these 10 people who gave a wrong report, God said, okay, I'll pardon these people. But everyone about 20 years old who came out of the land of Egypt will not enter into the land of Canaan. Their children might be able to enter into the land of Canaan, but these people who are about 20 who came out of the land of Egypt will not enter into the land of Canaan. That was the worst thing that has ever happened. And God made this judgment on these people. And we see here in verse 34, Numbers 14:34, according to the number of days which you spied out the land, 40 days. It took them 40 days to spy out the land. For every day you shall bear your guilt a year, 40 years, and you will know my opposition. God is a God who forgives. But there is a consequence to sin. Remember that. There is a consequence to sin. We need to bear the consequences. While He is a forgiving God, there are situations when we rebel against the Lord. Now the whole congregation, now you know why people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? This was the reason. People did not believe what Joshua and Caleb said. They believed, they were ready to stones and Joshua and Caleb. God was angry. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting, immediately summoning Moses and said, this is what the judgment I'm going to do. This statement, verse 34, I was really, really disheartened to hear that. I was so much broken to heart saying, Lord, Why? Why did this have to happen? For every day that you these people spied out the land, you shall bear your guilt. You shall bear your iniquity for 40 years. One day, 1 year. Terrible, right? It was a very short journey for them to go from Egypt to Canaan. But why did they have to go round and round and round and round, going around the same place for 40 years? This is the reason. It was all because of this. I, the Lord, have spoken, verse 35. Surely this I will do to this evil congregation who are gathered against me. In this wilderness they shall be destroyed, they will die. As for the men whom Moses sent out to spy, who returned and made the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report, these will die by a plague before the Lord. Verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive out of those men who went to spy out the land. They are the only two people about 20 years old who came out of the land of Egypt that entered into the land of Canaan. Not even Moses and Aaron, remember. The so-called leaders. Oh my dear. God is a God of judgment. While he is a God who pardons, there is a consequence to sin, which was 40 years, one day, 1 year for every day. We don't want to end up into the constant sin that we get used to it and say, Lord, you are a forgiving God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But let me tell you, the sin that we commit, there is a consequence to it. At least in this particular story, we see that it was a 40-year consequence. Back to Joshua chapter 14. Verse 10. Please read Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. That is 85. 85 means 4 times 20 plus 5, which is 85 years old. Verse 10. He says, the Lord has let me live. Now they have come onto the other side. They crossed the Jordan. They entered into the land of Canaan. The flashback is done. 45 years now has happened. He says, behold, I am 85 years old now. What, 85 years old? Some of us may be nearing that. 85 years old is not an age where you think about strength. But you know what he says here in verse 11? I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. What a wonderful testimony. That strength, not a physical strength, but the strength that God has given him. That's the third point if you want to note it down. Caleb's courage. Caleb's courage. Caleb's courage, strengthened by the Lord. Caleb's courage. He had the courage. He had the courage that day when he gave that report, when he was 40 years old. And he says, I'm still having that strength from the Lord even when I'm 85 years old. 85 years old. I don't know how many of us will touch that age. But let me tell you, we can still be strong in the Lord. Be strong and be courageous. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. When God was telling Joshua, I'm sure Caleb was beside him, he might also be getting the strength from the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you. When we go after this Jericho walls, when we go after all of this, though Caleb was in the background, when Joshua was in the foreground, still he was able to be strong. Caleb knew what his position was, and he took up that position and was strong in the Lord. He was getting strength from the Lord. Strengthened by the Lord is what we see here. For war, going out, coming in, everything that happens in my life, I'm being strengthened by the Lord. And now verse 12. King James Version, I like it, where he says, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Doesn't it say that in King James Version? Give me this mountain. Hill country, it says in some other translations. Give me this mountain that day when he was 40 years old, 45 years ago, he knew there was a mountain on which there were giants. Now the time has come. It took him 45 years to be able to claim what God was going to give him. He had to go through those 40 years along with other people. God could have brought them, those two people, and said, hey, you two, just go into the land of Canaan. And remaining people will go around for 40 years. No. Joshua and Caleb also had to bear the consequence of 40 years leading those people during those 40 years. And finally, the time has come to claim that mountain. My dear, there are mountains in our lives. And this mountain that in your life may be a mountain where it is very hard to cross over. Give me this mountain about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me. I will drive them out as the Lord had spoken. The Lord is with me and I will drive them out. We will overcome them, he said. Surely we will overcome them. Now the time has come. Verse 13. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. This Hebron was on that mountain. This Hebron was at the hill country. I'm not talking about a denomination or the group. I'm talking about the place called Hebron in the Bible, where he says, Joshua blessed Caleb. Both were together. Joshua was allocating the inheritance. The land of Judah was already given, but to the children of Caleb, Hebron was given. The son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. The final thing that we want to note down is that it is Caleb's conquest. Caleb's conquest. Can I write down? Caleb's conquest. Fellowshipped with the Lord. The word Hebron means fellowship. Remember that. If you haven't known about it, at least going forward, you will know it. The word Hebron means, sometimes it is pronounced Hebron. It means fellowship. The fellowshipping with the Lord. He had the conquest, and that was a place. And verse 14, therefore, Hebron became an inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because, verse 14, what does it say? The writer of Joshua also says, because Caleb followed the Lord of God of Israel, holy man. So many times, I was counting how many times it's written. 6 times it is written that Caleb, along with Joshua sometimes, but Caleb specifically 6 times, he wholly followed the Lord. Because he wholly followed the Lord, he had the inheritance. He had the inheritance. And here in verse 15, now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war because Caleb conquered that mountain. Caleb conquered that mountain. Oh my dear. Maybe we are going through tough times in our lives. We may be going through giants in our lives like the Anakim. Anak, the sons of Anak. God is there to give you rest in spite of the giants in our lives. Don't consider yourselves as grasshopper, but remember, the Lord is on my side. The Lord will help us to be able to drive out the giants in my life. What are the giants in your life? Each one of us have giants in our lives. How do we face the giants? Jephunneh means he's facing the giants. Uncertainty may be a giant in our lives right now. Uncertainty. Don't know. I don't know what is going to happen, brother. I don't know what will happen to my life. While you think about the future, remember what Caleb did. Caleb committed himself to the Lord. Caleb had confidence in the Lord. Caleb was able to, what does the third one say? He had the courage to be strengthened by the Lord, and Caleb was able to conquer with all the things that he was able to have. Isn't it wonderful character? I learned so much. And I have taken a decision that I want to wholly follow the Lord. How about you?
May the Lord enable us to make that commitment to the Lord. Lord, I want to wholly follow you. I don't want to rebel against you. Who are we? We are the losers, let me tell you. If we rebel against the Lord, if we rebel against the things that we have been doing for the Lord, if we have stopped doing it, it is a rebellion, let me tell you. Quiet times, family prayer times, praying together, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping with God people. Do that, my dear. Don't give up for the sake of struggles in our lives. That is the time you need to spend more. And that is the time we tend to go away from the Lord or the Lord's people. I want to be able to encourage each one of us as I'm encouraged by the Lord to wholly follow the Lord. May the Lord bless this word.